Please pray with me. O Lord, open our eyes, our ears, our minds. Open us up to you, that you may speak to us and that we may hear what you have to us say to what you have to say to us individually and as a community. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer, the one who guides us along the way. Amen. Amen. I was just reflecting that hymn was the favorite of my very first parish out in Eastern Oregon 30 years ago. I had three little churches scattered around, and all of them, they always wanted to sing that every single Sunday. Brings back a lot of good memories. In the 1994 movie Star Trek Generations, I am a Trekker, yes, the philosopher captain Jean-Luc Picard says to his first officer, William Riker, "Someone once told me that time was a predator that stalked us all our lives. I rather believe that time is a companion who goes with us on the journey and reminds us to cherish every moment because it will never come again. What we leave behind is not as important as how we have lived." He was reflecting on what the villain of that movie, Dr. Soren, had said to him during his quest to enter a space-time dimension of eternal joy, in which time itself had no meaning. But Dr. Soren, in his quest, had no qualms about destroying others' lives in order to reach his own selfish goal. And that's what the movie's about, how to stop this person who's gone over the edge from accomplishing his own selfish personal goal at the cost of the destruction of hundreds of millions of people. Fortunately, the good guys win. Dr. Soren loses. Well, that kicked into my own awareness, memories of the past. So I ask you to just spend a moment bringing to mind those things in the past that you wish you could have again. A parent or a grandparent, or in my case, right now, a cousin who died much too young. Perhaps it was a favorite car or a house, a place of employment, a love affair that you had wished had worked out, a certain vacation in a certain place, a recent sunny, beautiful day, a community of friends. We exist in the stream of time, and that stream does not go backwards despite our often held desire to regain a lost opportunity, a delicious moment, a more blessed time. We say, if only, should have, could have, might have, I wish I could have that again. We replay the past, of course, in memory, correcting, modifying, seeking answers, wishing, enjoying, recoiling, avoiding, excusing. To the extent that we make the past into our present reality, it becomes a guide, a set of lenses through which we see what is now. And taken to the extreme, the past limits us. It blinds us to what is right in front of our face. The best scenario is, of course, that we integrate the past by fussing with it, learning from it, accepting it, and then with a respectful nod in its direction, and perhaps a loving nod to that which formed us into what and who we are now, we turn our heads and hearts toward the present moment, which is where the Lord waits for us to pay attention. When we open the book of Acts to the story that you heard read to you today, we see that the young community of faith in the city of Joppa, which is on the coast of Israel-Palestine, that community of faith relied upon one person to help the local widows in their dire situation. Her name was Gazelle, a beautiful name. She provided hope to these poverty-stricken women who had no public champion, no legal standing, no way forward to a better life. She was full of strength and courage and good cheer. She gave generously of herself with a smile on her face, and they could not do without her. And then something changed. She sickened. She got worse. She died. And the widows and the larger community were devastated. They did what they could. They washed her body. They began to prepare her for burial in the time-honored ways. They shared tears and stories of her life and service to them. They showed the garments which she had handmade for them. And then they sent word to the famous apostle, Simon Peter, who was in another city, about 15 miles away, to come to them in their time of need. We're not sure why they asked him to come. We're not told. But when he arrived with the two messengers who came to ask him to come, he climbed to the upper room of the house and saw the dead body, listened to the women's tearful stories about their friend and helper and advocate, and saw the tangible results of her loving labor. And then he sent them all downstairs and closed the door. And in the quiet, he knelt and he prayed. And then he faced the body and said, "Gazelle, get up." And she opened her eyes and looked around, and seeing Peter, she sat up, and with his aid, she stood up. And then Peter called the women and the others in the house to come see what the Lord had done. And we are told that upon hearing and seeing Gazelle alive again, many people cast in their lot with those disciples and professed faith in the Lord whom they worshipped. And Peter, very practical guy, he stayed around for a bit in the home of a man who sold hides for a living. He's called a tanner, which meant that he dealt with the remains of animals considered ritually impure. He dealt with their blood, with their skin. And thus he too was ritually impure, separated, cast out. Perhaps he didn't have many close friends. And Peter went, left this place of joy, and went to another place. A person who was in his own limited, perhaps dying space inside. And so first Peter raises a dead widow and then rents the room in the house of the tanner. A man, perhaps, who was dead in some ways to the life of his own community. Peter, remember, was that blustery, simple fisherman whose life was turned right side up by Jesus, who betrayed Jesus out of fear for his own safety, who found his way back into communion with both the disciples and his Lord. He experienced the forgiveness that he desperately needed. And then who preached and taught with the power of the Lord until the day he died at the hands of the Roman Empire. Peter knew from the inside the power of God that healed and changed people. Not only the self-satisfied, the well-off, the powerful, but also those who existed on the fringes of society, the powerless, the hopeless, the friendless. Now, through the power of the Lord, Peter brought back the past in the person of Gazelle, which is the meaning of the Greek name Dorcas and the Aramaic name Tabitha. We are not told why Peter did this. As we read this scripture, we are reminded of the passage out of the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 4 about Elijah. Elijah raised the son of a dead widow of Zarephath. And so Peter is a new Elijah, a new healer, a new messenger of good news. Perhaps it was for the purpose of bringing others to faith that Peter did this. It's interesting that no one asked Gazelle what she wanted. She had had a long life, a fruitful life. She was loved and treasured. And now she was brought back to life to live and then to die again at some point. Perhaps below the literal understanding of this passage is signified the life and death and rebirth of a person who wears out doing good things for others. And by the power of God goes through a transformative experience that deepens them and those around them in wisdom and truth. This passage is here as part of a larger narrative in the book of Acts about how the good news of God's love spread beyond the Jewish community in Jerusalem out to the coast, north, south, east, and west. Well, let's look at ourselves. Other people depend on us. We give of ourselves to them because they need that, and we need to give ourselves away. That's our purpose, that's our use, that's our calling in the world, to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And then, perhaps one day, we run down. We run out of energy. We run out of love. We run out of willingness. We have been gradually sucked dry by our own good intentions in response to others' needs, desires, plans, goals. The supply of love coming into us does not keep up with the supply of love going out from us. That's what the term burnout means. And so we distance ourselves, we pull away, we die to others because we have already died, in some sense, to ourselves. And there's nothing left. Oh, others miss us, what we used to do and who we used to be. Others have come to rely upon us and they have not learned to do without us yet. And perhaps no one else comes along to take our place. There is absence and grief and perhaps anger that comes with loss and change. They wish we would return in body, in spirit, take up our familiar role, but perhaps we do not. We exit, we move on, we are absent to them. We know this happens in relationships all the time. This happens in families. This happens in churches. It happens to us. Those upon whom we have depended, parents, cousins, friends, family, ministers, they go away, they die, they move, they remove themselves, they give up, they give out. We are left with our memories, whether happy or sad or mad or a combination. There's an empty chair, a silence, a space once occupied, and perhaps there are just fewer of us to go on. But that's not the end of the story. The Spirit brings people we have not met before into our orbit, who may be very different than we are. God is always at work. God is very creative. God has an imagination. God has a sense of humor. And if we're able to see beyond our loss and see what is new that is coming in, it is a kind of resurrection. God knows who we are, what we need. And of course, this is not all about us. It's about others as well. Others whom God reaches out to and seeks to encompass in a larger community, seeks to meet their needs, seeks to grow them into the people they are meant to become. And perhaps that place is with us or you or me for a while. Maybe our space is a place where other people want to be, and vice versa. And gradually they become us and we become them and life goes on a little differently. and yet the same. Tabitha, get up. Peter does a Jesus thing. He prays and raises the dead. I've never been able to do that. Any of you? Oh. I'd like to think that I have been used to give encouragement and show another person that there is hope and there's a way forward. There's an answer in the corner that they're facing. There's a whole universe in that dead end that they just haven't seen yet. And I know that many have given me good words of love and power that have hit home in difficult or sad or mad or glad times. Words and actions which remind me about God's love for me and that bring me back to myself, that I once again am able to see again, have energy again, have hope again. Tabitha, Dorcas, Gazelle, get up. My soul, my hope, my ability to vision, our communal soul, our communal hope, our communal ability to face creatively into the present moment and make it come alive, to us are given the words, you are dead, but now you are alive. It's time to get up. This community needs you. You have more to be and to do here. This community needs you, but it also needs to give back to you. It needs to learn more from you. It needs to enjoy you more. So get up, come back to life, be alive. You thought you were done. You thought you were history. You thought you had nothing left. But the Lord is life, is goodness, is light, is the glue of the universe. The Lord is more verb than noun. This particular community of faith has deep roots in the past. The past of Reverends Worcester and Tobish, of Redicop, Capon, Lawrence, Rivers. They are good and strong roots. This is a good place in which to gather, in which to learn and worship and share and laugh and cry and struggle and dance. It is a good theology that guides this church. We learn from the past, we cherish from the past, but we cannot capture it like an insect in amber. We cannot resurrect it, and the Apostle Peter isn't here today. The past is gone, both the good and the bad. That particular gazelle will not run again. But the energizing Spirit of God, who was in the past, is here with us now. The Lord is more verb than noun, is here in the present, dances in the spaces within us and between us and beyond us. The Lord of the dance is the only constant in the stream of time. And so as we pray for the Minister Search Committee during this interim time, as it does its work, we have a choice. We can sit and hold our breath. Everybody do that for just a minute. Hold your breath. Now I'm going to wait until you turn blue until I tell you to breathe again, okay? You can let it out. We can wait for the future to become our present. We can hold our breath. We can just become stiff and immobile and static. Not very exciting. It's safe, but it's not very exciting. Or maybe we can wait for the past to be reborn, to come back so that everything was just like it used to be and we don't have to think or experiment or struggle or learn anymore because we'll be taken care of again. But if we sit and hold our collective breath, we turn blue in the face eventually. And there is no movement, no life, no activity beyond the absolute minimum. And in my opinion, very little permission for the Spirit of the Lord to dance with us. Paul Simon once wrote a song called The Hazy Shade of Winter. Time, 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 see what's become of me while I looked around for my possibilities. I was so hard to please. But look around, leaves are brown and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Kind of depressing. He sings it well, but it's depressing. Or we can seize the day that is given to us, each one of us, as a gift. Carpe diem. We can wake up, sit up, pay attention, breathe. Everybody breathe deeply. Much better than holding your breath. And do what is in front of us to do and be for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of this place, for the sake of our larger lives, wherever we are, wherever we come from, for the sake of those who come to see what we're all about, for the sake of the larger community, and this is a very large community in which we reside. I hope when this interim time is over that it would be said of this particular community of faith and action, which is integral to your theology, faith must give way into action, or it is not real. That it knew in its bones, quote, that time is a companion who goes with us on the journey and reminds us to cherish every moment because it will never come again. What we leave behind, philosopher Picard says, is not as important as how we've lived. And I think I can add that what we leave behind is not as important in the end than what we are becoming. I hope we begin to experience what C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books. Among times, there is a time that turns a corner, and everything this side of it is new. May it be so for each one of us and all of us. Amen.